Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shift Extension podcast. Thanks for joining us once again for our next episode. I'm very warmly joined by Mr. Stephen Whitfield. How are you, Steve?
G'day, Nick. I'm good. I appreciate the fact that you're warmly greeting us today because as far as I know, your temperature has been exceeding normal and you've got a bit of a spicy cough.
A little bit of spicy cough after 2 years of trying to avoid it. It finally caught up with me. So it's almost over, I think.
The podcast is now online. Nick's in isolation. And it's the only way we can get Andy here anyway.
Andy, thanks for coming, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me back. I'm looking forward to today. I'm particularly excited to have our guest on because I think she's someone who has contributed a huge amount in a very short time to this little world of paramedicine and of ours, and I'm really interested to put her on the other side of the microphone for a change. And I know that she's used to being the hostess with the mostess and things. And so today we'll flip things around and we'll put her under the spotlight and see what happens.
What on earth did she agree to this for? That's frightening.
So yeah, massive hi to Alex. Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Now, for those who don't know Alex, she's the host of the Student Paramedic podcast, recently graduated with a dual degree in paramedicine and nursing.
You.
And you're currently working at the Royal Hospital in Brisbane as a nurse. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Fantastic. Yep. Well, firstly, congratulations on the Student Paramedic podcast. What an amazing achievement. It's one of the best paramedic podcasts in this country and is a go-to resource for a lot of students and paramedics out there for topics. So congratulations on that and thank you for coming on today.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, Andy, you're the one who first brought, I guess, the idea of getting Alex on the show to Nick and I recently, and a lot of that to do with her success in the podcast and the direction she's going. I'm going to play dumb for the podcast and defer to you for a fair bit of this, but I'm really keen to explore how, why, when, and where Alex's career has taken her because she's, like you said, a hostess with a mostess. She's actually probably fit more into her student years than most paramedics can fit into their, you know, first 5 years of a career.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Steve. Like, I completely agree. And one of the reasons that I did want to get Alex along and have a chat is because I've had the opportunity to talk with her on a number of occasions, both online and recorded and not recorded. And I've always found the conversations incredibly enlightening, particularly because, Alex, of your perspective on things from the view of a student, which, I mean, obviously most of the things that you'll see out there from an education perspective, et cetera, will be coming from, I guess, the qualifieds of the world, whatever you want to call them, the educators and things. And so I guess my first question to you would be, why? What on earth made you decide to start a podcast and in the middle of what, you know, when you're already studying and under the pump with, you know, exams and essays and everything else and clinical placements and things. And then at some point, some little spark went, you know what? I need to do more.
She didn't have enough on, Andy. You
know? She didn't have enough. I need to do more. How can I make my life even busier? I know I'll start a podcast. So please talk us through that because that really interests me.
Awesome. Well, I do have a bit of a talent for making myself very busy, which I don't know is actually a talent, but I mean, I was in my third year of the four-year dual degree and as everyone can probably attest to, middle of COVID and trying to do uni was quite challenging and new and everything went online, particularly for such a hands-on degree. And so I guess I was in probably the middle of the semester and I literally don't know what particularly sparked the interest to do a podcast, but I come up with these random ideas sometimes. And for some reason, this one I thought was a potential that could go ahead. I was in the middle of a really hectic semester, which was really engaging and really awesome. And it was all, you know, the main paramedic subjects of, you know, your neuro resp, cardiac, you know, your law and ethics, med surg, all of the really big content heavy sort of subject. And for some reason, I was loving it. I was loving the learning. And during COVID, obviously a lot of the CPD events got cancelled. And it kind of got to this point where I was like, well, I love finding out and talking to a lot of paramedics about their stories and their experiences. And, you know, we're missing that engagement in a uni setting. So why not, I guess, create something where I can ask questions and find out for myself? But then I realized I didn't want to find this out just for myself. I wanted to be able to share it with other students. And I was lucky enough to have a lot of people in sort of my immediate connections that have run podcasts themselves. So I was like, oh, cool, this is possible. Instead of having this idea, I had a name for the podcast, a logo, a podcasting platform, and the intro and outro. And then within four to eight weeks, had recorded episodes and released the first one. So there was no space to think about stuffing it up or looking.
Sorry, stupid. How many episodes did you have in the first few weeks?
So between the idea and actually launching, there was probably six already lined up, ready to rock and roll.
I'm just going to leave that with you two to ponder for a second whilst we've tried to organise ourselves over 6 months. But, okay, 6 to 8 before you started. Great. Yeah, keep going.
But I think the awesome thing is that, as you guys could probably attest to, is that everyone in this sort of space is so willing to share their experiences and their stories. So it made it really easy to do so. So that, I guess, is the little story.
But one of the things that I really appreciate here, Alex, and it's something that I know the other two lads are passionate about too, it's part of the reason we did the shift extension, is paramedics doing more than just paramed. You know, whilst we've been developing the shift extension as a platform, we've had to learn about all kinds of things to do with publishing law and copyrights and then podcast recording, et cetera. But it's paramedics doing more. You know, echoing Andy's question, you know, why do something when you're already so busy? And I've also got to point out, I heard you say that you enjoyed respiratory. That still gives me goosebumps these days. But anyway, you're not just developing or building something in the paramedic space. You're building something that's actually outside of paramed itself, but promoting paramed. You know, surely that had to complicate your journey through studies even more.
Oh, absolutely. I spent many, many hours in those first few months on top of uni actually doing this. And there was a lot of points where I was like, is this worth it? Particularly when it started, because as you know, when things start, you know, they don't get a huge hit. But the thing that kept me going throughout it all was like, I'm learning from it. So this is awesome. And if one person gets something out of it, then that's even better. And so I guess for me, that was, I guess, the drive. And I know, especially during that semester where there was so much going on, there was multiple points where I knew that added stress was not ideal, but, it's been fantastic. So, I think there's no regrets behind it at all.
And lessons learned from these skills. I mean, these skills that you picked up along the way developing this podcast, is this something that you think has enhanced your ability to paramedic or nurse, or is this something completely separate? I'm curious to see if there's any overlap.
It's a good question. For sure. I think the ability to ask questions without fear, I guess. So I now have this attitude of just going up and talking to people sort of no matter what their status is, even if that's just in the workplace, and having the confidence and the ability to talk to them is something that's, you know, fantastic, and you need that. And then obviously the skills and the lessons you learn from people like yourselves. I've interviewed all of you on the podcast, and you guys all have incredible insights. And so being able to learn from that, I feel expedites, you know, as your previous episode about soft skills, all of that is so important. And it's not necessarily just about the content you learn in a textbook or at uni. So absolutely.
Status, regardless of the status of people, what's that mean? Candy, what do you reckon she means is status?
Oh, no, I think it's a really interesting insight.
Yeah,
I think,
me too.
You know, what you're hitting on there, Alex, is that, you know, people are often scared to ask people a question because they're scared perhaps to be look silly or to be seen to fail or to not know something that maybe they think they should. But your example's a perfect one to show that, You know, the people who are going to learn the most are going to be the people who do ask the most questions, the people who do put their hands up and go, you know what, I'm not entirely sure. I'm going to find the smartest person in the room right now and ask them, or I'm going to find the person who has done the most study in this area and I'm going to ask them, because guess what? They're going to give me the best answers. And so that really comes all the way back to something that we've talked about often, which is that idea of being a self-reflective learner and being a lifelong learner. And it sounds like to me that you have already started to develop that skill set fairly early on in your career, which is fantastic. I'm going to ask you this then, Alex. You know, you've mentioned the challenges of things like, you know, the motivation to keep going and, you know, the challenges, and you were like, oh, I don't know if I want to keep doing this and et cetera. But what would have been the biggest takeaway lesson that you've learned? Now, whether or not it's a thing you learned from a guest, or whether or not it was just something you've learned from going through the process of what you've done, if you could, you know, reflect back a little bit on this journey so far, what would be your biggest takeaway at this point?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Excellent. I'll give you a very short time to answer it. No pressure.
Both Nick and I are actually sitting here right now quite grateful that you didn't actually hit us with that question, put us on the spot.
100%. I'm writing down furiously.
Look, I think it comes back to the fact that, you know, I've learned so many incredible lessons from guests, but from the actual process of doing this, it would be, you know, being able to have the vulnerability to give things a go. And so I feel like that extends to everything, right? That extends to when I was in uni and being like, I really don't want to do this scenario because I'm afraid I'll screw it up and everyone in the class will see that and think I'm not where I'm meant to be, etc. Or when I'm now in my grad year, I don't know how to do, I don't know how to insert an IDC, for example, let's just say that. And then being like, I actually have the ability now to ask someone, you know, hey, I don't know this, can you help me? I think it just comes back to that, being like, you don't know everything. So having that humility to understand that, and then just saying, but I'm having, I have the confidence and the courage to ask people to help me get there. I think that's the point, and giving things a go. So I think that's kind of the biggest lesson that sort of extends not just into paramedicine or not just into nursing, but just in general.
That's a really good answer. And it's probably, well, not even probably, it's significantly better than one either Nick or Steve would have given. So I'm glad I asked you, Alex.
Harsh but fair.
Harsh but fair.
I'm still writing.
Alex, what you've managed to do really is every episode you're sitting down and having the courage to ask really open and honest questions. And if anything, you're exemplifying to your listeners that you can have open and honest conversations with people that sometimes we might perceive to be intimidating or someone that we don't want to talk to because we're unsure of how they might react. And you're demonstrating that you can get a lot of learning and a lot of growth out of having these discussions with them. Out of all the episodes you've done over the years, which ones have had the most impact and which ones were you surprised by?
Oh, that is a great one. Look, there are 57 episodes, I think, going on to multiple. So there's multiple more. So, I mean, it's hard to pick just one. I think, you know, they all bring something different and that's kind of the point of them all. But obviously I feel like the main ones, in particular ones that come around sort of that that topic of vulnerability, so particularly the ones where I've spoken to people such as, say, for example, Darren Hodge, and it's more so from him, for example, and a lot of our others, that when they role model something that is so maybe quite taboo, for example, having the courage to talk openly about going and seeing psychologists, you know, doing that type of stuff, or for example, when Dr. John Glasheen talked about his one of his biggest mistakes he made. So just having, I think that all the guests who, you know, as we say, we might perceive to be a bit intimidating or, you know, who know a lot, but they're so open and willing to express things that we might be so insecure about sharing. So I think that's a really awesome thing that I guess, those episodes. And pretty much everyone has done that on any episode. And I think it's just that collective sort of theme of being able to share something to anyone, really.
Yeah, there's 57 episodes. That's very impressive. That is really, really very impressive, especially when you consider the topics that you've covered. And that's one of the things that's intrigued me most, because I've really enjoyed listening to your entire series, because you have covered across. I know that your sort of initial point was maybe to be aimed at the student sort of, I guess, cohort. But as someone who's, you know, perhaps been around a little bit longer than that, I took so much away from many of your episodes because of the way that you went about your presentation style and stuff. So did you intentionally think about how you wanted to ask questions and go about sort of getting the people to present their information to you? Was that an intentional thing, or is that just something that's kind of evolved for you sort of naturally?
I think I've listened to a lot of podcasts prior to running a podcast, and I loved the ones that seemed to be a bit more conversational and sort of take things a bit more in depth rather than sort of a Q&A, you know, hammer you, like interrogate you. And so I guess when coming up with questions, it was kind of trying to get, you know, the real depth behind the answer rather than some superficial information. And so I think naturally the guests that have come on have been fantastic at taking that on, and so it makes interviewing quite easy. But, I used to prepare a list of questions. So going from my first ever episode with Britt Shaw, you know, I had a list of questions there. But now when I interview someone, I have a general gist of what I want to talk about with them. And if they say something really interesting, it's kind of like, great, let's go further into what you just said. So, I mean, it's hard to sort of talk about how I interview or the questions I ask, but I think a lot of it is driven by the conversation and the guests themselves.
Now, a lot of people have got a lot to offer.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important to point this out to Andy and Nick, because, you know, Alex is talking about preparing people with questions beforehand and giving them some prep time. And I think we talked to Alex yesterday and said we're going to chat, and that was it.
Yeah, that was more prep than we give most people, to be fair.
and so far she's smashing it out the park anyway.
Absolutely. Well, that, I had absolutely no doubt that was going to occur. And Alex, because I think you're entirely correct. The best conversations are the ones that develop organically. They're the ones that go the places they need to go, because that's the stuff that is generating the interest in the conversation and things. If you've got someone who's kind of, I guess, standing on a soapbox and having a bit of a rant, or is essentially lecturing but into a podcast, then it really kind of doesn't capture most people's attention, I think. Whereas, you know, when people can see that the people that are presenting are doing it because they're being real about what they're saying. And that's why, you know, sometimes things don't come out exactly the way they're supposed to. And there's why there has to be a little bit of editing here and there just to ensure that nobody gets shut down or whatever. But, you know, that's where the really interesting conversations come from. I completely agree with you.
Sorry to add to that too, but it's like the saying, you know, you don't know what you don't know either. So as a student, I'm not going to know something that you guys know, because you have, you know, decades of experience. So when talking to you, you got to be open to the fact that you're not going to know something. And so when you guys pick up on something, you know, you have to be able to roll with that as well, and learn something while you're at it.
The irony there is that's not just, or certainly shouldn't just align to a student skill. You know, paramedics professionally should exhibit those traits. You used a word earlier that was vulnerable. You know, you made yourself feel quite vulnerable in launching this. And I think it's something that paramedics should get comfortable with, because all of us are extraordinarily vulnerable, and every single person, not just paramedic, but every person we know will know something that we don't. And if we can actually humble ourselves and listen to that, then we're learning in every conversation we actually have. And that's also why I was drawing on, you'd mentioned status. You know, status in paramedicine, status in academia, status in the community. I mean, what is status? It's a way of elevating ourselves above people. And I think if we can reduce that friction and reduce that gap, now we're moving forwards. And I think the story of the Student Paramedic Podcast for me is that it's a huge success, because apart from the fact that it's been run by a student who's feeling vulnerable, the quality and the breadth of the guests that were prepared to actually sit with you and talk is a testament to the story itself. I think that speaks volumes for this approach, not just to paramedic care, but paramedic development in general. Interestingly, I'll tell you something funny. You mentioned the name earlier, Darren Hodge. I literally contacted Darren today for the first time to say, hey, let's do something.
Have you read his book?
I haven't read his book yet.
It's amazing.
I've seen his book.
It's amazing.
It's up on the Shift Extension Library because we're trying to promote any paramedic authors up there. Yeah, he responded within about, I don't know, 68 seconds. We've been bouncing emails off each other ever since. And so, yeah, we're going to be doing some work with Darren. So I look forward to that, guys.
People legitimately want to share. You know, they want, you know, if someone knows something, they want other people to know it as well. In most cases, you know, there are a handful of people who will hold, you know, play their cards close to their chest and not give things away. But in my experience, most people out there, once they've learned something, then the next sort of stage in the evolution of knowing something is wanting to share it with others. And so more often than not, all you actually have to do is ask. You know, if you ask someone, hey, would you be interested in talking about this thing that you know about? They'll turn around and go, well, firstly, they usually go, are you sure people would want to listen to that? Have you had that? You wouldn't have had, you know, are you sure people want to listen? And I'll be like, I can guarantee you people want to listen to you. And they'll be like, oh, okay, well, let's give it a go. And then they do. And of course, people do want to listen to them, and their stories are incredibly interesting. So I think I really like your comment before, and I'll just sort of, it kind of brings up one of my favorite little quotes, and I actually used it in one of Steve's lab classes this morning when I was helping out with some of the students, which is that saying of, you know, get in paramedicine, get comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, it's a place where we are both, you know, clinically, emotionally, physically. You know, it's not always the most pleasant job in the world, isn't it? 3 o'clock in the morning in a ditch and it's cold and you haven't had anything to eat and you just want to go home and, yeah, it's a good time. No, it's not. But we still do it, yeah? And people sign up for this stuff. So, you know, get comfortable with that being uncomfortable.
I don't know if it's a positive thing, but last year I actually spoke to some students and said, you know, what's one thing I taught you? And they said, being uncomfortable. And I thought, that's a whole year. something clinical. I don't know. But, yeah, that was the one thing that stuck with them, Andy. But get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Mate, if that's all they took away from a year, then they've learned a heap already right there.
You've got to finish your teaching in 1 hour, mate.
Yeah. So,
a whole year.
Alex, if you could sort of go back in time and think about where you've come from the start of the podcast and perhaps even a little bit further back to when you started as that lowly first-year paramedic, first day sitting in your lecture theatre on day one, bug-eyed like a possum in headlights, sitting there thinking about your dreams of being a paramedic. You know, your journey to the point that you're at now, and you've got congratulations on getting your double degree. That's such a fantastic achievement. Has it played out the way you thought, or has it been different?
Oh, look, if we're not going to get too existentially crass, no, I'm kidding. Look, my four-year degree has, if I was sitting there in that first lecture hall and I thought that I'd be where I am right now, I'd think that you're lying. Look, I've done lots of, like, my attitude, I think, is what sort of means that the fact that I can't sort of picture where I'm going to be in the next few years, and that's just because I say yes to a lot of things and I try and take on as many opportunities as I can. And as a result of that, I'd end up doing things like this, you know, where I never would have ever thought I'd run a podcast or talk to awesome guys like you or, you know, do things like that. So, I mean, 4 years ago, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. It's turned out pretty all right. How can you guess what the next, you know, few years is going to look like?
When we first started chatting about 30 minutes ago, one of the first questions Andy had asked was why start it, especially when you've got so much going on, not just your studies, but the world was shutting down. The question I have to build on that is, you know, now reflecting on everything, was it worth it?
Absolutely. I mean, there's been incredible learnings that I've taken away from all of the guests that I've spoken to that have really sort of changed my attitude and perspective of healthcare, how I view university and how I view learning. But then it's also had a great impact on other people, which I think is why everyone wants to do a healthcare job, right? But then equally, as I said before, the skills I've gained from it in the sense of just being able to have confidence to communicate with all different types of people from all different walks of life has been incredible. So I think there are absolutely no regrets, and it's been fantastic and such an amazing learning opportunity. And I hope that now that I'm no longer a student, that other students have that courage to do the same thing.
And Nick, I think she's referring to what Andy likes to talk about as soft skills, improving her soft skills. No, we did a podcast on that. They're not soft skills.
They're essential skills.
Right. Sorry, Andy.
This is probably why Alex has been a solo host on her podcast for the majority of the time. I'm just going to throw that out there. Hey, Alex, what you just said then may have felt like to you a fairly casual sort of a statement, but you could unpack what you just said there in an entire podcast all on its own. And one of the things I'd like to say is you have been a student, but you've evolved through what you've done into a leader, and you have absolutely been inspiring, and I have no doubt inspired many students to, you know, increase their own learning journey, etc. And I hope you have planted the seed in others to do the type of things that you have. And in fact, I don't even have to say I hope, I know you have.
Not even just students though, hey mate. Not just students, but paramedic students and others, you know.
Yeah. So it's a bit of an Alex appreciation podcast today, because honestly, I think if people want to look at what it means to be a good leader, if people want to look at what it means to be an effective learner, someone who's going to go out and find their own way to learn and things, then they could do far worse than looking at the example that you've set. So you should be very proud of yourself, and congratulations. I think perhaps was wondering, you said you've just been coming towards the end of your student life, and you've now probably making enough money to stop eating 2-minute noodles for the first time in 4 years, which is always a win.
Some of us never stop.
But so, and you did hint at you didn't really know where you were going to next. But if you had to guess, what do you think the next couple of years holds for you? What do you hope it holds? Or what do you?
Andy's tap dancing around a prying question here. That's what's next. What do you? Yeah. What's next? Let's put you on the spot. And you can say none of our business. That's okay.
There's lots of things going on. And I mean, from a learning perspective, and I'm lucky enough that because of these, this podcast, I've, you know, connected with awesome people that you guys know. And so hopefully one day, if that looks like research, that'll look like research. I definitely love the educational side of things. So as can probably be told by having a podcast. So I think potentially down the line, education is where I'd like to go. Obviously working as a paramedic and a nurse at the same time is the goal. But I mean, the way the past 4 years have panned out have been completely different to how I pictured it. So who knows? That's kind of where the journey is going. And if it pans out the way it does and how I'm thinking, then cool. And if it doesn't, I'm sure it'll turn out fine.
It's called Plan B. Alex, I love hearing your story, and I think others out there are going to be inspired by it, you know, students and paramedics. Hey, Nick, are we wrapping in a sec?
Yeah, whenever you want. That's
I just 20 minutes. I was hoping to point out to both of you that in the background, Alex has a whiteboard with Paramed Pod up there. It's actually a planning board. We could learn from this.
We have a whiteboard.
We have a whiteboard.
It's in my cupboard.
you need pens. It needs to be on the wall.
I've got some pens. If you've got the board,
you guys live about 15 kilometers apart. The pens and the board.
15. Like it's a lot further than that.
More
than that. But that's okay.
It's something we can work towards in the future as we grow into a more professional podcast.
Alex, if you can maybe give us some pointers, we're open to suggestions.
Yeah, Nick should be all over it. He had the free rads. So.
He did indeed. We're very fortunate to have Nick involved in this one. And we're very fortunate to have you on today. So thank you very much for your time.
Maybe Alex can give us some feedback on things after we've finished.
She'll do that silently.
just shaking her head.
Look, Alex, we're obviously coming towards the end, and I'll hand it over to Nick to wrap up. But I just wanted to ask, I guess, one last little thing, which is, or just sort of more of a statement really than anything, which is, again, congratulations on everything you've done. It's been very inspiring. I'm looking forward to where you take wherever you go next, because I'm sure whatever it is will be of interest, and we will be following that for sure. But if you were to sort of be able to offer up one, piece of advice to those students out there in the world, what would it be? What would you leave them with?
Well, thank you for having me on again. But so the piece of advice I'd give is that you don't need to go and do something large like start a podcast. You don't need to create websites or Instagram pages. It doesn't have to be that to show sort of your willingness to learn. I mean, it's just having that courage to give that scenario in class a go, to put up your hand, to ask for help, and just have that courage to give things a go. So that'd be my sort of takeaway, is to have courage, have the courage to give things a go, and you never know where it'll take you. So thank you.
You.
Alex, thank you so much for coming on to the Shift Extension podcast today. We've thoroughly enjoyed your time. Andrew, Steve, it's always a pleasure, gents.
As always.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. If you've got any questions, qualms, or concerns, you can reach out to us on Facebook. You can email us or come see us in person. But until next time.